For us this morning, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. We've been going through invitations in the Bible. Come into the ark. Come with us. Come and be clean. Come and be satisfied. Come, let us return to the Lord. Come and find comfort and find peace. This morning, we have a challenging invitation. The kids' corner was another invitation. He says, don't forbid the kids to come to me. Christ wants children to come to Him. But this morning we have a challenging invitation. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 37. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 37. But before we get into God's Word, let's go to Lord prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. Lord, we thank You that You calm the seas. We thank You that You are our Redeemer. We thank You that we have the voice to sing of Your mercies. We thank You, Lord, that Your name is wonderful. And Lord, I just thank You for Your Word. Lord, I ask that the truth of it would come out and it would change our lives today. Father, help us all to be willing to accept this invitation. Father, I pray that You just bind Satan on our behalf, that You take away all distractions, that Your Holy Spirit would have full reign here today, and Father, that we would leave here changed. Lord, we thank You, we love You, and help us, Lord, to worship You and be attentive to Your Word. We ask these things in Jesus' name, believing that You'll bring it to pass. Amen. In our text this morning, Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 37, it says, and we had called the people unto Him with His disciples also. Jesus is in the business of calling people. He's calling us today. He calls us through His Word. He calls us through preaching. It says, He said unto them, whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for My sake and the what? Gospels, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? See, the Bible has many different kinds of invitation. The most important one in the Bible is the invitations to salvation. See, all of us are in need of this invitation because all of us have sinned. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're not getting to heaven on your own. You can't be good enough to get there on your own. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh God. There's none that understandeth, no, not one. See, we all have this need. And unless you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're still in that need today, and you need Him as your Savior because you have a sin problem. All of us can accept this invitation because all these invitations are expression of God's love. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God commended His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I love the little track. It says, God's simple plan of salvation. It is a simple plan of salvation. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That invitation is extended today. That invitation has been extended through eternity. That invitation will be extended tomorrow if you're still here. If you're still here. But we need to receive God's many calls to salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says this, for what? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These invitations are for whosoever. It says in verse in our text, it says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospels, the same shall save it. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's about whosoever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, folks, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, make that decision today.
Amen.
It's an invitation to salvation. There's invitations to find comfort. Last week we went about come and find what? Rest. Come and find comfort. Come and find solace. Come and find the ability to do what God wants you to do. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, come unto me, all ye that what? Labor. Oh, are you tired of working? I found out that being retired, I work harder now than I did when I was working. But you know, we all are labor. We're all under burden. It says, and are heavy laden. God gives us physical rest. God gives us emotional rest. God gives us spiritual rest. And he says, and I will give you what? Rest. It's a promise. And we come unto him, we'll find the comfort of God. There's invitations throughout the Bible to pray in times of need. You know, maybe you are saved, but there's still things in your life. But my Bible tells me this, but my God shall supply what? All your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3 says this, call unto me. Call unto me. Don't call to your priest. Don't call to somebody else. Call to God. He alone can answer. And I will what? Answer thee and show thee what? Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Oh, many invitations in the Bible. When this passage this morning, we see now a challenging invitation. It's an invitation to discipleship. In verse 34, it says, whosoever will come, what? After me. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It's an invitation to count the cost. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the what? Whole world and lose his own soul. Bill Gates, you need Christ. All those rich guys, you need Christ. George Soros, you need Christ. You need Christ. It doesn't matter what you have. It matters who you know. And so it's an invitation to count the cost. Because discipleship requires effort. And it requires cost. It's an invitation to suffering and deprivation. For the disciples, it was an invitation to martyrdom. Remember what Christ said in the upper room the second time he went and he appeared unto the 12. And he told Peter what was going to happen to him. See, are we willing to be Christ's disciples all the way? The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, we like the idea that we're God's kids. But the real issue is, Christ told his disciples to go out and make more disciples. We like this issue about salvation and knowing that I have a home in heaven. But the issue is we need to have a disciplined life for Christ. And basically what it says here in Romans 8, 17, it says, and if children, then what? Heirs. We like the idea of all the things that we're going to inherit in eternity. But what's the effort that we need to do in our lives? It says, and join heirs with heirs of God, and join heirs with Christ. If so be we what? Suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So there's many invitations in the Bible. Invitations to salvation. Invitations to comfort. Invitations to prayer. Invitations to come unto him. And now we need to deal with this challenging invitation. An invitation to discipleship. An invitation to count the cost. An invitation to go through suffering if we need be. So this morning there's three invitations in this passage. The first one is a challenge to forget self. It says here, it says, if any man will follow me, let him what? Deny himself, in verse 34. You know, this is not an easy challenge to accept. You know why? Because it's against our nature. Because we want to be, it's about me and not about other people. Paul wrote in Philippians, he said, look on other people's things and not on your own. And so we need to understand that we are all prone to look out for number one. You know, we watch all these shows and we hear these conversations. What is in it for what?
Me.
What's in it for me? And this goes across against all this because Christ is telling the crowd and his disciples. He says, let him what? Deny himself. It's not about you. It's not about you. See, even the disciples longed for preeminence. Even the disciples longed for position. And folks, if you're serving God just for the looks of it, if you're serving God just for the position of it, you're wrong. You're not going to, you have your reward down here when people say, oh, he's such a good guy. Yeah. No, that's not it at all. Later on, a couple chapters back, or a couple chapters forward in Mark, the disciples, James and John, come to God. And they say this. In Mark chapter 10, verses 27-40 is the whole thing, but in 35-37 we get to the gist of it. It says that James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him saying, Master, we would that you should do for us whatever what we shall desire. Not what you want. God's about ready to go into the garden and say, not my will, but your will be done. And here's his closest disciples. Peter, James, and John that saw him transfigured. And here's James and John saying, God, we want you to do something for us. We want you to do something. Christ said, and he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? See, God hears that. But basically, God doesn't want to fix your circumstances. He wants to fix you. It says that they said unto him, grant unto us, no one else, that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. See, if you're on the right hand and you're on the left hand, there's room for no one else. And so it's what we desire, where we want to be. It's all about what? Number one. They hadn't got it yet. They hadn't got this thing about let him deny himself. This is after, you know, the sad part about it. After Jesus showed the ultimate act of servitude and washing the disciples' feet, they were back at it again. Asking, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Oh, we need to get out of this. Let him deny himself. If anyone follows God, let him deny himself. And what did Christ say? He said, are you able to drink the cup that I'm baptized with? And them not understanding, he said, yep, we're able. He said, you will indeed drink the cup. James is martyred. John is sent in exile. Peter is crucified upside down. And I have a feeling that in the end of their life, they heard these words. They all came back to them. Oh, folks, let's have no regret. Let's deny ourselves and accept this challenge. It is not an easy challenge. How do you deny yourself and follow Christ? See, discipleship calls for giving Christ first place. In Christ's very first sermon, he says, what you need to do to follow me is you need to seek the kingdom of God first. You know, but people are too worried. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to sleep? Where am I going to go? And Christ said to the crowd, he says, God knows what you need, but you need him. And he says in Matthew 6, verse 33, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, when you think about self all the time, you start worrying. And that worry can paralyze you. This week, I've talked to several people about, I just don't know what's going on. And basically, Christ said this. The next verse, he says, take no thought of tomorrow. For tomorrow will take thought of itself. Sufficient to the day is what? The evil thereof. You know, it's vain to stay up late and not to sleep and eat the bread of sorrows. For he giveth his beloved sleep in Psalm 127, 2. So discipleship says deny himself. Deny himself and follow me. It means giving Christ first place. We need to seek the kingdom of God first, not our own interest. Secondly, Christ has to have the preeminence. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 through 18, it says, and he is before what? All things. Is he before your ego? Yes. Is he before your pride? Yes. Is he before your wants? Yes. Is he before your desires? The disciples had trouble with this. I'm sure we have the trouble with it right now.
Come on.
And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in what? All things he might have the preeminence. God needs to have preeminence in your life. All things in your life. Who sits on the throne of your life? Who sits? Who's in the chair? It needs to be Jesus. But if you haven't denied yourself, you're sitting there, folks. You're calling the shots. No, God needs to call the shots in our life. So the first one is a challenge to forget self. The second one is a challenge to full surrender. See, the full surrender comes, let him deny himself. Take up what? Take up his cross. See, we each have our own burdens to bear. I can't carry your cross and you can't carry mine. But we need to carry each other's. We need to carry each other's. let him take up his cross. See, the cross is about death. Yes, it is about physical death. It talks about the wages of sin is death. And Christ suffered the wages of sin, of our sin, on the cross through his death. But Romans chapter 6 says that we're supposed to what? Reckon ourselves to be what? Dead indeed unto sin. Okay? Paul says, I die daily. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. See, Jesus had just revealed his coming death. We know these passages. And it's always interesting and it's instructive to learn how Christ got to the point where he said what he said. And what he had done up in verse 31. He's got everybody was so happy because they were getting all their needs filled. They were getting people healed. All this is great. It says in verse 31 of Mark chapter 8, it says, and he began to teach them, the disciples, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priest and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He was talking about his ultimate mission, which was the cross. See, take up his cross means to die. Christ's cross was to suffer death for all men so that we could have eternal life. Well, these great spiritual theologians of the disciples, they hear this. And we know what Peter does, right? He engages his mouth before his brain and his heart's engaged. In the very first, that very next verse, Peter rebels at this message. See, he said, and he spake that saying openly. So everybody can, folks, we need to understand openly what Christ did for us on the cross. The world needs to understand openly what Christ did for them on the cross. And Peter took him. Said, come here, Jesus. You don't understand this. This is not what we want. You need to stop this foolish talking. This makes no sense. We're looking for you to restore the kingdom to Israel. That's what the Messiah is all about. It's about giving us preeminence. It's about taking away the Roman occupation. It's about doing all these physical things. You go on and you do this healing stuff. You go on and do all this other stuff. But don't die. That's not in the scripture. And they just totally ignored Isaiah. Just totally ignored it. And took him and began to rebuke him. Oh, see, he didn't understand yet God's plan of redemption. Folks, there's a lot of people that are trying to follow God. You don't understand what salvation's all about. Much less, we don't understand what discipleship's all about. Much less, we don't understand what surrender is all about. Christ clearly says it here. He says, let him what? Deny himself, take up his cross. It's not about you. It's about dying to yourself. It's about being alive unto God. Taking up the cross is about full surrender. It's about death, but it's about full surrender. Christ surrendered himself to the cross to save us. Philippians chapter 2 verse 8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. He denied himself Even the what? Death of the cross. We are to surrender to Him and everything. In Mark chapter 10, verse 28 through 30, then Peter said unto him, "Lo, we've left all and followed you." Peter answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake in the Gospels. But he shall receive a hundredfold now, in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." Folks, full surrender is giving yourself up to God. Full surrender is giving your job up to God. Not losing your job, but giving it to God. Full surrender is giving your family to God. Full surrender is giving your church to God. Full surrender is giving your neighbors to God. Full surrender is giving everything that you hold dear to God. Peter didn't understand about the death of the cross. We don't understand what full surrender means. It's denying ourselves, everything that makes us who we are, and surrendering to Him. Taking up the cross is about full surrender. My question this morning is, first question is, are you saved? The second question is this, are you holding back from your Lord? Are you holding back from your Lord? Luke chapter 14, verse 33. "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Now, we're not supposed to give up everything and live under a bridge. But we need to have the willingness to do it.
Right. That's it.
Amen.
We need to say, we need to be able to set the priorities right, set the preeminence in our life right, and go forward from there. So as a challenge to forget self, is a challenge to full surrender. Lastly, is a challenge to follow our Savior. What an opportunity. You know, people follow their favorite movie stars. They follow their favorite internet influencer. They follow their favorite sports star. They follow their favorite friends. But do they follow Jesus? But do they follow Jesus? It's a challenge to follow our Savior. Let Him deny Himself, take up His cross, and what? Follow me. Follow me. He says this openly. He says this to the crowd. He says this to the religious leaders. The disciples said, "We've left everything. What about us?" And here's the reality. As Christ keeps on talking about this, He says, "Where I go, ye cannot come." He says that to the religious leaders. And what we need to understand is that only the saved can follow Jesus. It's not the religious. It's not the ritualistic. It's only the ones who have the relationship can follow Jesus. When Christ is talking to the crowd, and He's talking about His death again, He says, "I'm going to die. And then you're going to come looking for me. And you're not going to find me. You're not going to find me." In John 7:34, it says this, "Ye shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, thither you cannot come, because you don't know me." Folks, it's one thing to say I'm following. It's another thing to actually do it. Only the saved can follow Jesus. The indwelling Holy Spirit makes this possible. John chapter 14, verse 17 says this. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world, what? Cannot receive. You can't get this by sending off a mail order. You can't get this by filling out an internet form. You can't get this by paying money. You have to know Him. Who the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not. They were seeing Jesus, but they weren't seeing Him as the Messiah. They weren't seeing Him as God in the flesh. That's who you need to see Jesus as. You need to see Jesus as Savior. Neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. See, the Holy Spirit is also called the Comforter. In that same passage, it says, I'll send you a Comforter. I'm going to go away. I'm going to send you a Comforter. Who can? And what's a Comforter do? He gets you through the hard times. The Holy Spirit enables us to endure hardship for Christ. See, following Christ will lead through difficult places. And John chapter 16, verse 33 says, these things have I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have what? Peace. Come and find rest. Come and find peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Folks, it is not always a victorious walk of success, as some people preach. It's about going through struggles, but it's having the ability to get through the struggles, to endure it because of the grace of God. Amen. Because that's how faith grows. Faith doesn't grow by getting everything that you want. Hey, if you did that to your kids, you spoil your kids. God doesn't want any spoiled children of God. He wants people who will endure hardness, as Paul tells Timothy, as a what? A good soldier of Christ. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We were talking to someone yesterday and talking about getting victory. And I said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Even our faith. 1 John 5:4. See, accepting these challenges for forgetting self and full surrender and following Christ will make life worthwhile. It'll make life worthwhile. Holding back, we lose the best in life. It says, verse 35, it says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the what? Gospels. The same shall save it. Oh, folks, we need to understand that today. Will you accept the challenge? The challenge is a discipleship. To deny yourself. To forget yourself. To full surrender. To following the Savior. That's what we need to do. That's the invitation today, folks. But the biggest one is to come to Him as Savior. If you don't know Him as Savior, today is your day. It may be your last and only chance to receive Him. Make sure you have that right. And Christian, let's make sure that we're living right. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask You for this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts. Help us, Lord, to follow You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we have a verse of invitation. Softly and tenderly, He's calling you today. Let's follow Him.